This is True North Story, the original podcast series. Learn, love, listen, live. With your hosts, Tama Fulton and John Hudson Messerall. Are you ready to discover your True North Story?
It is True North Story, and your hosts,
all right,
Tama Fulton and John Hudson Messerall.
Hey.
Hey, guys. How are you?
How are you?
Doing well. Thanks, John. You know, a friend told me about you guys, and I've been researching, you know, what's Tama and John all up to? You guys are everywhere. It's awesome.
We're here with you right now. We're living in the moment,
exactly.
And we're loving it.
That's great. Congrats on everything. This is a very exciting True North Story podcast, and thanks so much for having me on.
Well, thank you, Justin, so much. It's been so great to connect with you and to learn a little bit about you. And one of the cool things we noticed right off the bat was that you and John have the same alma mater.
Valparaiso University, huh?
Yes. I had a great time playing. I played a little baseball there.
Oh, did you really?
Great school. The state of Indiana is a lot of fun. So
January, the beginning of the second semester was always a little brutal in the temperature department. I mean, cutting across the tundra in the dead of winter was always a bit challenging. But I lived in the fraternity houses, so I was down on Mound Street. So you'd have to walk up, right, hook a ride with one of my fraternity brothers, and who miraculously, and I know I'm older than you, but we're also baseball. We had a lot of baseball players, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had some good times at the... We had some good times in the fraternities and there, a lot of parties there. That was a good time. Bringing back the memories.
I'm see, right?
You know, I tried the athletic thing and it was fun, but I had to not go the baseball route because I was studying pre-med at the time, and it was just insane how much time was needed and how much time was needed in athletics. So I give a lot of credit to those in college sports. They really put a lot of hard work in.
Well, let's back up just a little bit here from college and find out a little bit about Justin. Were you from the Midwest originally, Justin?
Yes, from Detroit, Michigan originally, and spent 27 years there. Yeah, loved all the different types of music. Motown music was, of course, born there, and just so much history of music. A lot of R&B, and my father owned a band in the state of Michigan called Kaleidoscope, and it was a top 40 band and had a show floor and different choreography and different vocalists, and I got a chance to play in that band since I was 15 years old to about 27, and really that's how I cut my teeth playing music and just had so much fun doing that.
So how cool is that? So were you self-taught, or did you hang around other musicians? Or
yes, I hung around with a lot of different musicians. And growing up, my early childhood was mostly other musicians in the family room practicing. I was always going to different gigs with my father and just learning the business, learning how to rehearse, learning how people practice. And it was just, I've learned so much through those experiences, and now I'm able to translate those into the music business of today, which is completely different, but a lot of those lessons learned are still holding true.
Did you start off with the saxophone, or did you do something different?
Yeah, I first started off with my first instrument what I brought home was in fourth grade. It was the drums, and my dad
of course
was like,
it
no.
was of course it was from a former drummer sitting right here.
And it's
there
not
you
me.
Go,
it's not
yes.
me. Yes.
So it's kind of funny how tables turn, because now my son, he's 7, Tyson, and he's like, well, I want to play drums. I'm like, no.
Absolutely not.
So my dad, he mentioned to me, he goes, you know what, Justin, have you thought about the saxophone? Because that would allow yourself to make a lot of money when you're in college in different wedding bands. And that's exactly what I did. You know, my parents, they didn't have a ton of money to, you know, pay my way through college. So I took the loans out and was able to pay off my college, all of my college school loans by playing music.
Wow. Holy cow. And let me tell you, as somebody who graduated from Valparaiso, it is not. It's a private Lutheran university. It is not inexpensive.
Yes. No, it is not. And then later, I went to school for my MBA, and I paid off my MBA by music.
Holy yeah. cow.
You know, it's
music
a lot
has been very good to you.
Yeah, and you have to do so many different, you have to wear so many different hats in music. In my opinion, it's like a lot of other careers. You can't just be a one-trick pony. You have to be able to produce an engineer in the studio. Then you have to be able to perform live. And then you have to know how to market yourself well to get a lot of live gigs, because there's a partnership formed. If you play at a winery or a restaurant or a venue, you know, that concert promoter wants to make sure that you can fill up seats, and then you have to know how to market yourself well. And unfortunately, a lot of us musicians, we don't know where to get quality information. It's difficult to know where do I understand this at? Where do I get this at? And a lot of careers are like, here's the piece of paper that says from A to B, this is what you need to do. Go and take these credit hours, and there you go. You get your degree. And music
right.
is one of those funny things that you don't. It's like a squiggly line all over the paper. You don't know what to do. But thankfully, through you know the upbringing that I've talked about, I've been able to do some fun things in music and make some great things happen.
It sounds like that you had a little bit of a roadmap handed to you by your father, being in
yeah.
the business before you, and. You know, this is going to provide a lot of value to our audience and listeners, because one of the things Tam and I are really excited about with True North Story is that when we have guests on and they share their journey and they share their story and they share what's worked for them and in trying to incorporate a True North journey into their lives, we want our audience to be able to pick takeaways from you that mm-hmm. maybe there's a musician out there that's going, I really don't know. And, oh, that's awesome that you said that, because it's something that they can apply in their own lives. And the music business is one of those things I can only imagine. So baptism by fire for a lot of people. And it's like, try something, it works. It doesn't work. You can't replicate it.
Just a quick note. You said that you were a pre-med major in college at Valpo. So were you thinking that maybe you were going to do something other than music?
So let me back up a little bit and tell you a little bit about my dad. He's been a professional musician his entire life and played a lot of rock and roll in his early career, and then formed Kaleidoscope, the show group that we talked about. And he does a lot of mixing and producing in his home studio in Detroit, Michigan now. And so he had always said, you know, Justin, you should think about music is great, but you should have a plan B. And so I always had a fascination with medicine. And at that point, when I went to college, I had been doing music since I was 15 years old. And
right.
I just felt like, you know what, I'm okay, Dad, I'm following your advice. Let's do this. So I started some pre-med classes and quickly learned that I couldn't memorize as fast as my comrades could, and colleagues, they could really memorize well, and they were doing well on tests. And that's when I thought, you know, I'm gonna go into a different route. So I graduated with a mechanical engineering degree.
What?
And transferred. Yeah, so I had transferred to the Michigan State University. I was a little bit closer to home. Got a mechanical engineering degree. Really started to focus on music when I was, of course.
Hold on a minute, Justin. So you've got a mechanical engineering degree, you have an MBA.
And you're a professional musician.
And you're a professional musician. What?
Yeah. Well,
it's crazy.
There's a lot of us out there, you know, like one of my all-time favorite piano players, Herbie Hancock. He's also an engineer. Of course, he's just an amazing pianist. So,
oh, yeah.
But yeah. That's all love.
So obviously you have to be good at a little bit of math to get an engineering degree. I'm just wondering, are you
yes.
considered like a technical player because of your ability to just be good with numbers and transferring that into music?
Wow, that's a great question, Pamela. With music, it's all about vibe and feel to me. You know, growing up in Detroit with all the Motown sounds around it, it was always how the song made you feel and not how technical or how complicated you could make a song, but just like, can you make your slow song? Would your slow song make someone cry? Or would your mid-tempo song make someone say, that is a beautiful song. I need that in my life. Let me buy that on iTunes. And that's where my heart kind of set at with writing music. It's how can you touch someone, because music is such a harmonic connection that when done right and when performed well, it will make someone just feel like, wow, I'm so glad I heard that. That's really either A, relaxing, or B, that really pumps me up. Or been blessed to have that ability. That a lot of folks that come to see me perform live, they say, wow, you know, your music touches me. I don't know how it does, but I'm just like, thank you so much for saying that, because that's exactly how I want my music to be remembered and my music to be played.
Learn, love, listen, live. This is True North Story, the original podcast series. And now, back to the program.
Tim and I were just talking about this earlier today. So much of the music, new music today, sounds so similar, and it sounds so heavily produced, and you can't tell the artists apart in a lot of cases, vocally.
Sure.
What are you seeing in music? Because I love the fact that you're talking about that connection, that emotional connection.
Mm-hmm.
That's the music that Tam and I grew up with. I mean, bands, and
oh, yeah.
And it just seems like it's kind of missing in that in the music today.
Yeah, and there's a lot of great artists today that are doing a great job. But you're right. Growing up in Detroit, one of my favorite bands was Earth, Wind, and Fire, and Chicago.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, gosh, I could keep going here, but Kool and the Gang and the Gap Band. There's just so many great bands.
Those
and
were
today,
throwback bands to you, though, weren't they?
No, those are the bands I grew up with.
Oh, good.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we're the same age then, Justin. We're both 25. I love it.
Well, here, I was born in the 80s, but my dad being a professional musician, the songs in the show group that we performed in had to make someone either stop in a casino where we were playing at, or had to be their all-time favorite song, you know, to get recognized as a show group. You know, not everyone's going to go listen to a band and want to hear just one certain type of music. So we covered a broad range, and a lot of the songs that are popular are from that era. Yeah, I grew up with Earth, Wind, and Fire, and just listening to all this, even though I was born in the 80s, that was my measuring stick. And so my latest album that's coming out in November has a vocalist from Earth, Wind, and Fire on it, Sheldon Reynolds. And so,
how great,
yeah,
is that?
And so recording music, this new album called Blue Soul that's coming out next month, did away with the computers in the studio and just went back to the basics of like my favorite bands, like Earth, Wind, and Fire. You had live instrumentation, you had live drummer, live bass player, live guitar player, live keyboard player, all in the same room, all vibing together, trying to get that harmonic connection out, right? So it's a feeling thing that you feel, and you're like, whoa, this sounds really good. What is this hitting me? And so that's what Blue Soul to me. I try to combine like the gospel with the R&B with a little bit of pop and, of course, jazz, and have that come back and really make a connection with people, because the technology is great, but the technology part isn't making us socially better. Like, there's lots of social networks, but they're not making us tighter socially. They're just kind of there,
yeah,
in my opinion. So I can have a million friends on Facebook, but you have either five or six really strong friends, and then the others, you kind of like, yeah, I like their stuff. You know, it's a little bit different.
I know exactly what you're talking about. You just totally made me think of something. Tam and I watched recently, I've seen it before, but I just loved it. It was the movie that Dave Grohl did, Sound City, about the recording studio in California.
Oh, yeah.
And the board, yeah, and all of that. And I remember, I think it was Tom Petty's band members.
Oh, yeah.
They went in and they had booked recording time at Sound City, and they were, and he says in the movie, he's like, all of a sudden we had to play. When they're recording on tape in the sound booth, there's nowhere to hide. You know
right.
what I mean? You either have the ability and the talent or you don't. And he's like, when you go back and you hear yourself play, he's like, gosh, we really suck.
The first real Heartbreakers jam to just feel each other out was at Sound City.
studio was fine, but we just didn't have our shit together. We weren't ready. We didn't have the songs. We didn't really know how to play that well.
This is how you make records.
It was cruel because it sounded so real. And you go into the control room and they crank up through those speakers and go, man, I suck.
I tell you, the vocal mic is just a little bit loud.
That no frills, no effects, no place to hide, everything coming out of an amp or everything coming right out of a speaker or right off a microphone, that approach, that was Sound City.
You know, so many of the bands back in the day, that's what they did. And they had to be good. And that's why they sounded good. And I think sometimes we rely a lot on technology, and that's a good thing for a lot of different things. But certainly in music production, Trent Reznor talks about that a lot, too, from Nine Inch Nails, about that, you know, you can do stuff electronically and all of that stuff, but it still doesn't ever replace the ability.
You're exactly right, John. Exactly right. Yeah, in fact, in that documentary, Dave Grohl, they talked about how many hours they had to lay down that Tom Petty song in the studio, and it was over like 5 or 6 or 8 hours of playing straight. And the producer knew, hey, you know what, you guys are getting better, but that's exactly what it takes. You can't just have one person at a laptop. Oh, I'm cranking out this song. Well, that's great, and there's a lot of very talented people in the world, but what if you had 6 people on that laptop in the studio all adding to it with their instruments, you know? And it's a beautiful thing, and that's just where that's where I'm going. I've done the laptop thing and started, you know, I want to be creative and I'll make a song, but I know I'm going to take that song into a recording studio with some unbelievable musicians. So yeah. On my Blue Soul album, I have the drummer from Michael Jackson's Bad Tour, Ricky Lawson. He unfortunately passed away several years ago, but I've had these songs. I always work on music, and so I've had these songs, and I lived in California at the time and had him on drums, and then this bass player called Alex Al, who played with all the A-list stars and also performed bass with Arsenio Hall for a long time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I've been blessed to know some unbelievable musicians, and I just wanted to bring the best of the best, and several mastering and recording engineers that are just dynamite with the record, because I want it to translate well. We mastered
for sure.
It for iTunes, and then we mastered it for the regular CD, of course, that anyone would put in their car. And so I really went to the ends, I guess you could say, overkilled it to make it right.
Well, and you know what? Anyone who knows, like, listens to horn specifically, like, you know, Chicago you mentioned earlier. I mean, in their early music, think about the Chicago songs, how prevalent and prominent the horns are in their music. I mean, yes, Peter Cetera's got an incredible voice, but those horns, they come out of nowhere. It's like, yeah, it's uplifting. So I get that you want the best mastering quality. You want to represent that. Do you see horns accompanying music making a comeback? I see so much electronic, but I don't see a lot of horns. Do you see that?
Yes, without a doubt. And I incorporated a live horn section on this new album, Blue Soul, just for that very reason, because it, like you said, John, it uplifts the music, and there's nothing like real trumpet and real trombone.
Uh-huh.
So yes, I do see more horn sections, and I do hear that, and that's, for me, it's because let's do this right, you know?
Right, exactly.
Right? Real drums on this track. Let's get real horn players on this album. Let's do this right, because you can't replace that, you know? A fake song on a keyboard can't replace a real trumpet.
Hey, Justin, tell us about, obviously, this album that you've got coming out is going to be spectacular. I mean, just hearing the names of the musicians you've got with you and the way that you want it to sound and the creative process. Tell us about this labor of love. I mean, how long has it taken you to put this all together, and what kind of music are we going to expect to hear?
Blue Soul's taken me about 4 years, recorded in Los Angeles, Detroit, and Oklahoma. We wrote probably close to 60 songs and pared it down to the best 12, utilized the best in-class musicians that we could find, and had several really notable producers. Darren Rahn's a producer in the contemporary jazz community. Also had Dave Rideau, who's worked with Janet Jackson and Boney James and others. And my dad, he engineered, helped produce, and a gospel producer that's produced for Kirk Franklin and Fred Hammond as well. In the past, I have four other albums that are on iTunes, and it was just kind of me in the studio working with other musicians. And this one, I wanted to bring in great, awesome producers to not only help me with the instrumentation and the live rhythm sections, but also on my part, right? Because as a melody architect playing the saxophone, I want to make the melody as great as possible. And so I had people help me, because I've learned that I can't do it all alone. And there's so many talented people in the music business. Like, for instance, they say, you know, if it takes 10,000 hours to master your anything, right? Well, I've got a lot of hours on the saxophone. And so I wanted to get a great producer to help me make the album and the sound more well-rounded. And so it's been an unbelievable journey. The promotion, the radio promotion, actually started in December of 2016. We released a single on my Christmas album, which is called Home for the Holidays, to help make radio relationships and develop those again. And then in January of 2017, we released the first single off the album called Always There, and that went to top 25 Billboard Jazz and hundreds of terrestrial radio stations. And it went on rotation and is still in rotation on Sirius XM Watercolors, Channel 66. And then about 8 weeks, so then we let that ride from January, February, March, and April. And then in May, we released the second single from the album called Jazz Along the 101. And that did really well. Got on Sirius XM Watercolors and is currently in rotation on that. Going to do a third radio single to radio called High Definition off the album. And then I have a music publicist out of Los Angeles that is going to help create a publicity campaign for the record release in mid-November. So this has really opened up a lot of great relationships. I've performed at Shane Park in front of 5,000 people in July, and then in August performed at a really well-known venue in California called Spaghettini's and sold it out. And so working on a Christmas tour here in Washington with several dates lined up. And that, after this record release, we're going to get ready to do the next album and keep things in motion.
Do you do touring too?
Depending on the style of music, touring for me is really well-known jazz festivals like the Florida Sea Breeze Jazz Festival, or I would love to someday do the Playboy Jazz Fest in California. But there's so many great jazz festivals, and so that's kind of what it is for me.
And what brought you to Washington State?
My wife, Rachel Young, she works for a media company, and so her job brought us here, and it's been a beautiful, you know, I took a second to adjust to the weather with the rain, because we had lived in California and Oklahoma. It's like crazy sunlight all the time, and now here it was a little bit of rain in the winter, but the summers here are gorgeous.
They're pretty magical. They make up for the rest of the year.
Yeah, they really are. They're amazing. So, but all good. Quincy Jones did a lot of, of course, he's a musical hero for me. And so he did a lot of music when he lived in Seattle. And that's okay. You know,
yeah.
The rain is romantic. Yeah. And then the rain is, you know, it gets you closer to your music because you're inside. And then you get to bust outside for the summer. So it's all good. It's funny because wine and jazz seem to go together. And a lot of the wineries in Woodinville, there's hundreds of them. And so I've been getting a lot of phone calls from there and looking to do some warm-up acts and different things like that.
When can people start to download, purchase, acquire your album? And are you going to, or have you considered putting it on vinyl as well?
I love that question. The two singles of Blue Soul are currently on iTunes, as well as the rest of my discography. The new album, Blue Soul, will be on iTunes mid-November, and additional details will be on my website at justinyoungsax.com.
Okay.
And then I do want to run a limited set of vinyl for this, since the sound is just amazing. So probably a 200 vinyl set will be coming out. And, you know, I'm a pretty active person on social media, so I would love for your listeners to follow me at Official Justin Young on Facebook, and then on Twitter, it's Justin Young Sax, and then on Instagram, it's Justin_Young_Sax.
Tell us about Home for the Holidays. Have you put any original music on there, or is it all the good stuff that we know and love in December?
It's all the must-play songs that you would hear with your family in your home. It has a lot of great, just the well-known Christmas songs, and then a little bit of mixture of, we did it's called Sleigh Ride by the group TLC. They're a hip-hop group, and I redid one of their songs. It just came out beautifully, so I've got some vocals on that album as well, and it's done really, really well. Christmas is just an amazing time, so that's why I really wanted to kick off this Christmas tour and go and play a lot of those songs and additional songs that everyone loves, because it's a special time of year, and nothing sounds, in my opinion, as great as a saxophone.
No,
music
sets the mood. It just does, you know, and
yeah.
And the holidays are a very moody time of year.
Yeah.
you know what I mean? Like, it reflective, and it's the end of the year, and family, and all of that good stuff.
JustinYoungSax.com on iTunes, and I'm sure that you have your CD on Amazon. Is that right?
Yes.
Everywhere fine jazz can be heard and sold, right?
Yes, and if anyone would like a signed album, if you go to my website under discography, there's an opportunity to get a signed copy of any of my albums. And so a lot of folks have been doing that lately. And
that's very cool. How would Tam and I get a signed copy of your new album
on
vinyl?
We will make that happen. In fact, let's just say that you guys will receive the first vinyl copies, because I really appreciate being on your show. You guys do such a great job on your True North Story podcast. It's amazing. And if there's any other musicians or artists or producers that are listening to your show, I started a podcast 6 months ago called the Justin Young Audio Experience. And getting back to, you know, helping others, the podcast is all about helping musicians kind of navigate through the industry. And so there's a really well-known film director that moved here from L.A. His name is Ron Jones, that I met at the Upstream Music Summit Conference in Seattle. And they had Macklemore and Quincy Jones there. And then this Ron Jones, who actually wrote the music to Star Trek, Family Guy. He's doing the new Jason Bourne music stuff. And
holy cow.
And so, yeah, I interviewed him on the podcast. He's just amazing. And then I interviewed a music publicity person that kind of talked about, as an artist, you may be running on only 20% efficiency if you're just doing social media by yourself. there's other, he calls it five arms. There's radio promotion. There's, of course, social media. There's retail marketing. There's, of course, marketing yourself. Well, and then the last one is just having great music, because you can't do the great marketing without the great music. And so a lot of times as musicians, we may be only operating on 20% efficiency, and we would never know because we're not given a roadmap all the time, and we're just busy trying to make great music. And so if there's anyone that's interested in checking it out, it's the Justin Young Audio Experience. And I would personally love to invite you guys out to my December 10th Christmas show at Columbia Winery.
Awesome.
We'd love to have you there.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Justin. I consider you now a true musician friend, and I wish you all the best. John and I both
for sure.
do.
Absolutely.
And we cannot wait to download your next album coming out mid-November, and we'll be looking for Justin Young to do great things.
Okay, we'll see you guys.
Thank you for listening to True North Story, the series. And tune in next time for another True North Story.